Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here, as he said, right off Ritchie Road, 15800 North Freeway is the address. So make your way on out here to this Buffalo Wild Wings. It is always a fun time on Thirsty Thursday. Come on out here and do your thing. There you go. I see hear Tyler, and now see Tyler Milner in here, going straight black T-shirt. I see you.
How we doing, boys?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good, and it's gonna be a fun time. Again, we never come empty-handed. If you've not been here on a Thirsty Thursday, get on out here. Come on out for your first one. If you have, you know the drill. Got a chance to win a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card. We'll do it in the 4 o'clock hour. And also a projector. Projector to set up on in the house, outside.
You can do
what you
want to
do. It is. It is coming up into 5 o'clock hour. 713-572-4610. Do you still use the word tight to describe something positive? Do you still, as Tyler just did there, do you still do you still go, man, that's tight like that? I mean, it came off. I'm just wondering, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, do you still use the word tight?
Got to go Tuco on it sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, the reality of it is you just got to it's about how you pull it off. I mean, look, Tyler wears chinos and Vans. You can roll with the tight as often as you want. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Walks in some Luke Casey's and Wranglers and a cowboy hat may want to steer clear of using the word tight. Talking about how tight things are, unless he's talking about her britches. I mean,
I don't know. Said I go Gucci. That's Gucci.
Nah, it's another one, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know if it's my age or just the fact that I'm not as cool as I once was. I can't pull Gucci off.
I've said it a couple times.
Gucci's a hard one for me to pull off. It's I mean, like in real conversation.
Yeah, I've used it a couple times.
You weren't comfortable with it. You were not one bit comfortable when you did it.
Not 100%. It's like me trying to say draws.
When I was drunk, I was a little bit more comfortable. A little bit more.
Well, that happens. That happens to most of us. That's why we put the poison in our system.
Hey, did you get the Uber? Oh yeah, we Gucci. Like a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't know.
Super tight, bro. Super tight.
I don't know.
Champ Slice said, hell yeah. Ray said, I do. Hell yeah. Do you still use tight? Yeah, it's still. I know it still works. It uses it. I just, when I heard Tyler say it, in my mind I thought, man, we still say it?
I feel like you have
do
to.
Do I still say it?
You have to be a long-time user. Like you can't,
and
you can't
that I am.
Nah, you can't just up in 2025 at you know mid 30s, 40s, all of a sudden decide you want to go heavy tight like that. That just ain't.
I'm no stranger to the tight. It's regular for me, you know.
Yeah, just regular.
The tight what?
But you've been in there.
The word, Clint. Grow up, bro.
Oh,
come on, man. Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. It's not getting nasty.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, I've seen you. I've seen you in the bathroom. It'd have to be an abnormality to be tight.
But make your way on out here come on out and have a tight time out here. And
like
if you are in and if you're on your way, go ahead, put your name in our raffle box. You can't miss it. Big white box there, and you'll have a chance to win multiple prizes that we have here today. All right, fellas, some news jumping out. And if you were listening to In the Loop, you heard it. I know I was riding in listening. I heard back-to-back segments that led off with the breaking news sounder from Figgy and the fellas. And the big news, Clint, is, and listen, something had to happen. The Astros, according to Chandler Rome, have fired. They have not parted ways. It does not say let go. It does not say different direction. It says fired head athletic trainer Jeremiah Randall. Damn, Tyler.
Don't even feel bad about it.
And his 10 years of service as the head athletic trainer. And listen, it felt beyond just bad luck here in this situation. And it really didn't even start just this year. It's been the last couple of years. I mean, however Lance McCullers arrived to where he is right now over the last several years under Jeremiah's watch, it feels like it started there. But this was more than bad luck, fellas, because this was, hey, I didn't think dude broke his hand. Oh, shoot. After he swung and we got him hitting live pitching, he's complaining. Oh, darn. Not only was it broken, hell, it's been broken so much it's starting to heal at this point. It's now 60. We're 60% through the break, which I'd never bought that number. And then, I mean, they had some bad luck, and then they just had some, like, hey, man, what's going on? Why are we putting folks out here? It feels too quick. Why is like it to me? It's hard for me to not look and say, "All right, Luis Garcia has to have back-to-back Tommy John." After we look at you and you get him out here and something. They just had more than just guys come up and get injured, which happens normally for a baseball team. But them getting guys back on, it seemed like they didn't have good success with that. And then when they would get back on, they get hurt again. I mean, Jake Myers, we thought was good, and then he couldn't make it past the mound, trying to just run out to center field his position, and then he had to go miss another month and a half or whatever. This to me had to happen, Clint. And if they didn't make any moves there, I think a lot of Astros fans would have questioned on what the hell Jim Crane.
Yeah,
doing.
Look, I think it had to happen, and I think the reason it's fired is because he was under contract. I think Citron's ran out, so he was. I mean, the verbiage there that may not mean anything more than just he was under contract, so you can't move on from somebody. You got to actually fire him. You got to terminate the contract to some degree, in some manner, right? So, but the interesting part here is. You know, we'll make a lot about the starting pitching, and I do think obviously the injuries to the elbows are some kind of issue with what's going on, whether it's baseball or the Astros. There's some degree of what they're doing nowadays that's creating those issues. The spin rate, the infatuation with the spin rate, the era that we live in, obviously is a big part of that, putting a different level of torque on their and wear and tear on the arm. But this has to be a response to a handful of guys that I think. Obviously make it a no-brainer, right? And you mentioned them. The Yordan Alvarez situation where he goes out and he takes BP just to find out you need more imaging, and then the imaging shows that it's been broke all along. And then you look at Jake Myers. Hey, he's clear. He's ready to go, and he doesn't even make it to the turf in the outfield before something snaps in his calf, right? You mentioned Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers, I think, is the one pitcher here that we can look directly at because of how we saw his – bone spurs or whatever the hell it was that turned into more surgeries.
They didn't want it. They didn't have surgery at first, and then they tried to just go with it with him
right.
Then they had the
process, right? I mean, I don't know that there's a – as I said before, I don't know that an athletic trainer is out there putting a bunch of torque on an arm trying to generate more spin and literally hurting elbows and sending guys to the Tommy John factory the way that the Astros. Like, I don't know that is an athletic trainer more so as a guy that's literally, like, physically training these guys, not bringing them back to health. But the check in the box of, yeah, these guys are ready to go, and you've got three or four guys that walk back out there, and clearly the imaging wasn't done right. Clearly they weren't ready to go.
Just too many guys that you seem to get back on the field too early, and then they immediately have setbacks.
Well, I think that in itself is one where you go, hey, man, we got to review this. We got to figure out what's going on. And then you get into all the starting pitchers. I'm going to tell you, the way Luis Garcia walked off the mound, and again, I don't think an athletic trainer is the one that's responsible. When a guy comes off of Tommy John like that, I would hate to think that the Astros are going, hey, head trainer, let us know when this guy can pitch. I would like to think that these are big-time doctors that are saying, yes, this guy can go. They're checking in with that guy. Surely it's not the athletic trainer that's saying, yeah, you can go back out there, and all of a sudden he's snapping forearms and elbows and everything else. That was a sad watch. That was a hard watch. It's one thing for a guy to wake up the next day and have some soreness and realize, hey, man, we've got to have some surgery. It's another thing when a guy throws a pitch and dangles his arm and looks at it like, hey, man, I can't go no more, yeah. Right, after the rehab that he just went through. So, yeah, man, that to me is a no-brainer. There's no way around it. There's no sugarcoating. There was so many issues within the Astros organization with injuries that some kind of change had to be made.
Yeah, and again, like – To go to your point, though, yeah, all of it doesn't fall on everything doesn't fall on the trainer. But I think what this signifies is, one, you know, some of it does. And two, like, we got to re-look at and re-evaluate and just change up whatever it is that we are doing from a health perspective, a training perspective, all of it. Like, we've got to change this up. We cannot just have all the injuries and all the setbacks. Then this is multiple years. I mean, you can throw Kyle Tucker in that sucker. I mean, that was a weird thing with his imaging and how the hell they went as long as they did before they realized it was a break.
But that is like to understand, like, whether it was Dean Weber when I was at Arkansas or Jim Maurer when I was with the Cowboys, like it. Those guys are kind of the go-between the medical professionals and the coaches, right? And those guys lean heavily on those medical professionals to decide if and when they're ready. They also lean heavily on the strength and conditioning guys that are actually doing that part, some of that part of the rehab, right? But you got to be able to trust. You got to be able to trust your go-between. You got to be able to trust the guy that is communicating with the doctors that's informing you on what needs to happen. And it's clear there were several disconnects with the Astros, but there was the most important one is when it's having to do with player safety, when it has to do with injuries and guys coming back. So again, yeah, it had to be done. Whether Joe Espada was stuck around or Dana Brown stuck around or not, this part of it had to happen.
Yeah. They've got to change that and look at it. It'll be interesting to see who replaces that and what – if how big or how different the changes are on how they approach things from that perspective. But 10 years, Jeremiah Randall has been the head athletic trainer for the Houston Astros. He has been fired today. Also, other moves, this also coming from Chandler Rome. The Astros are parting ways with hitting coach Alex Cintron. Sources tell The Athletic more changes – are expected on the Houston coaching staff. Now, we did learn later on that the Astros also fired the assistant hitting coach Troy Snitker and also catching coach Michael Collins. I'm not sure if that's, you know, all of the other expected changes. Maybe there are going to be more, but those are a couple of others. Alex Cintron, the big one, Clint. And listen, I have, you know, for most of the year, at least defended Alex Cintron in a way of like, hey, man, like, hey, if y'all want to move on from Alex Cintron, y'all want to blame it on him, fine. I mean, the guys that were really fighting it were a lot of the guys that you probably don't think are going to – the veterans that are going to do a lot of change. And obviously, you know, maybe he did reach some of those guys – in a way that they were able to make changes and you want to go in a different direction because it was so bad at times offensively, cool. It's not that big a deal to me. I don't know that I expect that there's a new hitting coach that's going to make sweeping changes, because I think a lot of the guys that had struggles from time to time, I don't know how much they're going to change. Like, I was listening to Brandon earlier talking about their chase rate and how they don't take as many pitches. Well, I mean – you think Altuve's stopping that, right? I think Pena's in that same range. You think he's stopping that? And, I mean, if we remember, you know, some of these lineups that they ran out there, some of these guys that they had at the plate, I don't think were the plan. And, you know, if that was on Alex, that's on Alex. I don't have a huge problem with it. Obviously, their offense wasn't to where it needed to be. But for me, Clint, I don't know that I expect, boy, now this sucker's going to pick up because they changed hitting coaches. I could see it picking up because, I don't know, Yordan's healthy.
like, yeah. Or other things like that.
Well, look, I mean, regardless of how they went about it, I mean, from a runs produced standpoint, they were middle of the pack in the American League. So it wasn't just a horrible year. It wasn't ideal. But when you take into account no Yordan Alvarez, when you take into account that you lost so many guys throughout the year, that the lineup was inconsistent, I would expect to be a middle of the pack team in terms of runs scored.